Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 294 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Katie.
And this episode is sponsored by Frederic LaSalle. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Today, we will be discussing our favorite moments from our favorite characters throughout books 1 through 6. So make sure that you've read all of those. And if you want to listen to our episodes, that would be great. We love a good download number.
Oh my God, Tiffany.
Oh, man. So, yeah, we are going to bibble our way through the details today, my friend.
What does that mean?
I forget.
I do too. We just looked it up. It's something to do with food.
Oh, it's when you eat loudly.
It's when
you eat and chew loud. Eat and chew loud. Oh my God. Eat and chew loudly.
Can I tell you what people Googled? What is Bibble in? Where does Bibble come from? Does Bibble have a girlfriend? What is this?
Oh my gosh.
There's a character from something called Fairytopia. Barbie's Bibble?
Bibble our way through the details.
We're going to bibble our way through the details.
Bibble.
But before we begin, we have weekly profit news with Megan. But before Megan wants to do that, I thought about this morning.
This is the Tiffany show.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. This is a Megan appreciation moment because we have so many behind the scenes things of like what we have to do, forms we have to fill out, places to book, travel to book, stuff like that. And I want to show my appreciation for Megan because you have a certain way about doing these things. You know what you're doing. And
thanks.
Katie and I would be lost in the sauce if it wasn't for you and all your behind the scenes things and your vast knowledge of like prep and travel. And I wanted to take a moment and tell everybody this podcast is a lot of work. Okay. We all do our fair share, but our summers are insane because that's like con season and event season for us. And that's our busy season for our podcast. And there's so much front loading of stuff that we have to do. And Megan takes on like a huge chunk of that. And I just want to say thank you so much because otherwise Katie and I would be sticking our thumbs out on the highway trying to get a ride to Chicago and Kent and anytime we go to Orlando. So thank you for everything that you do.
Truly, I can't second that enough. We'd be so lost.
It's so lost. Some of those things are like, you know, and I talk about this in like my this is my real life, but like my personal life where it's like these adulting things that you just have to put on a list and just cross them off, and you will put that stuff off for as long as humanly possible.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten into a groove the past couple days where I'm just like, you know, let's like knock some stuff off. And I'm just, you know.
Applause.
Feels good.
Yeah. We've been in a groove lately, kind of like getting stuff done. Like I said, this is probably the busiest summer that we've ever had.
Yeah.
Me personally, I'm traveling more this summer than I have in many, 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 many moons.
Yeah.
And I just, I don't know. I just wanted to make sure that you were recognized for your hard work, because I have never booked a hotel or a flight or anything like that for that matter. And we would not be at these events if it wasn't for Megan.
Well, thank you.
100%.
I love you guys.
Thank you.
Love you.
I'm so excited for this summer. It's going to be so much fun.
Yes. It really is. Yes. Let's talk about some of those things.
So yeah, speaking of, I basically, because we've been on this roll of just like booking things, getting things in order, discussing what we're going to talk about at each event, et cetera, et cetera. And like some things got finalized finally, which is like always such a good feeling. So our first event is the Wizardly World of Kent weekend. It is Friday and Saturday, July. Oh my gosh, is it the 28th and 29th? Oh, right?
Yeah, it is. Okay.
Yeah. So July 28th is always, it's the Friday. So it's always like more an evening thing. They usually have the Wobbly Wizard Bar Crawl. They have a 5 3/4K through Kent University. And then Saturday is like the all day event with the vendor village and the events. So we are putting on a live podcast at Kent that has been confirmed for Saturday. We are also going to be doing two costume contests, a kids costume contest and an adult costume contest. All proceeds from the costume contest, like to join it. I don't think that we have like finalized how much anything's going to be yet, but like that news is TBA. But all proceeds from it are going to go to the American Cancer Society to help support Katie's running and her training. And obviously also just the American Cancer Society. Like it is to go to her fundraisers for her Run Disney events. And we're also going to have a booth in the vendor village this year again, which is going to be very exciting. So we're going to have some new merch. We're going to have, I'm thinking that we're going to try to design like a photo backdrop or something for people. To like take a photo, and like when we're not doing our events, we're going to be hanging out at the booth to just like hang out and talk to you guys. And
if you ever don't see us, it's because we're on a bathroom break or shoving food in our face.
Yep.
That's pretty much it. And yes, to answer every single person's question, the thousands of you that listen to this podcast, Danny DeVito, cardboard cutout,
will
be in attendance. Yes.
Yeah, for sure. And he will be wearing a Swish and Flick shirt.
Oh, of course.
Absolutely.
And then, so this is why this summer is just so crazy. So literally the next weekend is LeakyCon. So LeakyCon is August 4th, 5th, and 6th. We have been accepted for a Swish and Flick live podcast, a Court of Swish and Flick live podcast, and also we will be hosting a Sarah J. Maas meetup. And we're also going to have a podcast booth there with opportunities to hang out and chat. We'll be selling merch. We're going to have ribbons. Guys, I'm telling you, I know I've said this every time. I have a list of ideas and they are getting ordered by this weekend.
And we do have a list. I feel like when we genuinely make lists, things happen.
I agree. Yeah, 1,000%. So ribbons, we're going to have so many options of ribbons. You guys aren't even going to know what to choose from. So like, that's what this is coming to. I'm going to go way overboard because I have failed the past like 3 LeakyCons to bring ribbons. So,
well, to be fair, the first one we didn't know.
I know. Yeah, that's true.
True.
So make sure that you check us out at our booth. It's a joint booth with a bunch of Harry Potter podcasts, and it is going to be the Wizarding Wireless Collective. So we're going to be hanging out there and like doing shifts at the booth as well, just like with opportunities to hang out and chat with you guys. And then obviously just enjoying the con as well. So if you see us at LeakyCon, like please come say hey. It'd be so awesome. So yeah, I was just like, finally we got like some finalization and I'm just like getting really excited about it. So I wanted to like reiterate everything that is going on this summer for you guys. We're also like talking about maybe going to Steel City Con because Cormac McLaggen is going to be there. It's in Pittsburgh, but it is the weekend after LeakyCon. So that'd be like 3 weekends in a row, but maybe. Didn't they announce another Potter actor? Who else is coming? Cormac McLaggen. Oh,
Warwick Davis.
Yes.
Sorry, I was thinking.
Oh, I didn't even hear that.
Yeah, they announced Warwick Davis.
When did they do that? I missed that.
Like maybe 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, maybe.
It's pretty recent.
What you doing? Okay.
So I thought that that would be like super sweet. We were kind of thinking of like meeting Cormac McLaggen and having him sign a McCormick Spice.
I'm doing it.
I can't stand this.
She's gonna be like, what?
If we did that,
we're just nerds.
Would
man.
Anybody be interested in it as like a giveaway?
Maybe we can use it as an ACS fundraiser.
Yes, I was gonna say, let's do a fundraiser. Let's do a fundraiser.
That's a great idea. Okay, so
but what spice?
We're definitely getting. Yeah. Okay, so we need ideas.
Sign a couple.
Send us what spice you think you should sign.
Give us spice ideas.
Yeah. Okay. So that's our intense summer. Yep. Make sure that you follow us on your preferred podcast listening platform and share this episode with your friends, because if you like us, then they could too, and that would be cool. Subscribe to our channel on YouTube at Swish and Flick Podcast and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Swish Flick Cast. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, head on over to patreon.com/swishflickcast. Supporting our podcast keeps us going, and it gives you access to our exclusive Felix Files episodes, our Discord channel, live recordings, trivia games, Swish swag boxes, and more. Thank you all so much for your support. As always, we are still accepting Potter stories. Also, if you just want to send us any fun things, questions, or concerns, you can always send any of those things to our email, which is swishflickcast@gmail.com.
Way to be.
Dot cam.
It's time. Recap.
Are you bibbling?
I'm bibbling.
What is wrong with us?
I thought of that like 3 minutes ago.
Hey, but you remembered it, unlike us forgetting what bibble meant. That's true. I'll never forget. Okay, recap. We talked about hot werewolf theories. Mm-hmm. We spent the whole time speaking about my one true fictional love. It was a good time and a sad time, because when you talk about him, it's really sad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Still
He's
keeping
sad,
on going.
Sad man.
You are sad, sad strange man.
You have my pity. Farewell.
I love that movie so much.
I do too.
So good.
I do too.
We were in St. Louis and we saw a book and it said something about Darjeeling. And immediately were like, we have to send this to Tiffany.
Sucking down Darjeeling.
I'm Mrs. Nesbitt.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So the summary of what we are doing today is we are chatting about our favorite characters. We will be talking about our favorite moments from our favorite characters, from Sorcerer's Stone all the way to Half-Blood Prince. Tiffany has chosen Albus, Percival, Wolfric, Brian, Dumbledore.
I'm so sorry. Please say it the correct way.
Albus, Percival, Wolfric, Brian, Dumbledore.
Brian.
I chose Hermione, and Katie chose Remus.
Remus.
Are we surprised by any of these things?
No. I want to look how long Katie's notes are.
Well, to
Megan
be fair,
and I were over the moon.
You guys were.
He didn't
extra.
Have stuff in every book like our characters did.
Megan, your notes! They're so long!
I'm sorry.
Heaven help us all!
Oh, it was just copy pasting.
I don't think a Swish doc has ever been 25 pages long, but here we are.
Is it 25 pages?
Yes!
Oh no.
What?
You might have to cut some of this.
The doc is
25 stinking pages. I thought I had a lot.
Sorry.
Sorry. Oh my Leanta. Okay. It's not going to be. Don't say that.
It's not going to be a 5-hour episode.
It a 3-hour tour.
I don't know why, but I thought, oh my God, maybe I shouldn't say it. But you sang it like that. And then my brain went, Tinky Winky, Dipsy. And that's not it. Those are Teletubbies. Nope. The Professor and Marianne. I need school to be over so I can actually be a person again.
You are so close.
And broken. Okay, so I have, obviously, my main dude, Dumbledore. And there were so many things from these books that I was like, oh, I like that, oh, I like that, oh, I like that. So I'm just kind of going to roll through these. Some of them we can, like, stop and chat on if you guys have thoughts. But
I have no thoughts on anything regarding him.
No thoughts, just vibes.
Yeah.
Okay. I put a lot of like direct quotes. Maybe that's why mine looks so long.
Me too. That's why mine okay. is. Yeah.
So one of my first things that I really liked about Sorcerer's Stone was like the chat with the Mirror of Erised. Mm-hmm. And just there's a lot of like really heavy hitting quotes from this book. And so the mirror will be moved to a new home tomorrow, Harry, and I ask that you not go looking for it again. If you ever do run across it, you will now be prepared. Wink, wink, hint, hint, okay. well.
That was just cute.
And then I feel like this is a line that's huge in the fandom. It does not do to dwell on dreams and forget to live. Remember that. Which is true. True. Because a lot of us, I feel like, do a bunch of planning and then don't do a bunch of, like, actually, like, putting things into motion.
Can I say something about that quote, though? Because
absolutely.
I kind of hate it.
Oh, go for it.
I hate that quote. I feel Why? Like it can be used. It can be used in, like, a negative connotation when, like, it doesn't need to be. Like, I get what you're saying. It's like, okay, yeah, like, we plan things and then we're just like waiting for them to happen and they don't. Mm-hmm. But like it also like could be heard as like
don't
stop
dreaming
and just live in reality. When it's like dreams are also good. You know what I mean? Like having dreams is not a bad thing.
No, I never thought about it that way.
And like every time because I remember thinking this way for the very first time when that brand new collection came out at Universal where it was like different quotes on like it was like black with the text on a mug. And then there was like a black pillow with the text embroidered on it. And that was one of the quotes that was on there. And like Katie and I were looking and we're like, oh, we really want to get one. Like, which one do we want? Mm-hmm. And obviously I think of that quote. And I'm always just like, oh, yeah, that's such a popular quote. Like, I like it. And then I, like, stared at it. And I was like, I don't think I like it.
So yeah, my interpretation. Like
yeah.
My interpretation of that quote is we spend so much time thinking of what we would want to be and dreaming of what we want to happen or how we could be X, Y, Z. That we spend so much time doing that we don't put our dreams into action.
Mm-hmm.
That's how okay. I kind of, that's how, I think, that's what I thought.
I think that I like it more in like the whole context of the conversation. But whenever I'm seeing like that specific line just called out by itself on a piece of merch, that was when I was like, I don't like that. You know what I mean? But then thinking
no, I agree.
Deeper about the actual meaning of what he was saying. It's like, okay, yeah. But like people aren't always, a lot of people aren't us. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
we're like,
say.
We just do this we all pick the it time. Apart.
Yeah, right.
Where all we do is talk about Harry Potter. Like,
normal people don't take McCormick spices to movie actors at cons.
Exactly.
And say, Can you sign this?
I'm literally on exactly. McCormick's website trying to decide what
Get out, Katie.
I hope he doesn't have a rule where he won't sign like anything but a photo. That would be so disappointing. I'll bring a photo of a spice.
Should we do?
Dude, bring both.
In case.
Should bring chili powder because he thinks he's hot.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my
I was
God.
Thinking
okay.
Allspice.
Allspice?
Allspice. Someone said no salt.
How about dillweed?
Katie.
Sorry.
Terrible.
Okay, continue.
Oh, man. Okay. And then when Harry asks him what he sees in the mirror, and I love the way that, like, young Harry, 11-year-old Harry, thinks about this question after he asks it. So he's like, I see myself holding a pair of thick woolen socks, right? And Harry thinks Dumbledore might not have been quite truthful, but then he thought, as he shoved Scabbers off his pillow, it had been quite a personal question. And I think that that's really cute.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's a real personal question. But socks, you know?
Yeah.
And then the chat after Harry meets Quirrell and Voldyface, there's like a ton of nods to the future and perhaps nods to the past. I just pulled like some quotes from this conversation. In regards to Nicholas Flamel, I think he says, after all, to the well-organized mind, death is but the next great adventure. I really like that quote because a lot of times, and I mean, if we think about our own humanity and how brief this is, it can be very daunting, but, you know, I like believing, obviously, being a Christian, in heaven. So I like that. It's the next great adventure, right? And then we have, oh, this is a good one. The trouble is humans do have a knack of choosing precisely those things that are worse for them. Why do we do this? Because that's very true.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just pick things that are just not good.
I wonder if that is a little bit of a call to the past for him.
Little Grindelwald.
Little Grindy action there. Yeah. That friendship, those thought processes. I feel like that's something that he probably battles with daily.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just feel like it is. And then this, the truth, Dumbledore sighed, is a beautiful and terrible thing and should therefore be treated with great caution. However, I shall answer your questions unless I have a very good reason not to, in which case I beg you'll forgive me. I shall not, of course, lie. I appreciate the honesty behind that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could argue forever about the choices that Dumbledore made and the information he withheld throughout the years, but in the end, where we got where we needed to get, I suppose. And Harry's not mad at Dumbledore for it in the end, so I'm not gonna go against that.
Yeah. Fair.
And just talking about what happened with his parents. And how Harry says, well, Voldemort said that he only killed my mother because she tried to stop him from killing me. But why would he want to kill me in the first place? Dumbledore sighed very deeply at this. Alas, the first thing you asked me, I cannot tell you. Not today, not now. You will know one day. Put it from your mind for now, Harry. When you are older, I know you hate to hear this. When you are ready, you will know.
It's literally true, though.
It's literally
can you
so
imagine
true.
Like straight up though, the people who are mad at Dumbledore for withholding information when he's 11 years old, that's
can't
not
tell
the time.
That to an 11 year old. I mean, you just can't.
Not when the need is now, you know what I mean? Like Voldemort isn't at full power, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's stuff that I don't tell Alana because it's not appropriate. So, like, I don't know.
It's not that you're lying. She's just not ready. Or he's just not ready. It's not that you'll never tell.
Right.
them, but
so
yeah.
I mean, if people can try and argue with me all they want, but no.
And like Mike in the chat just said, particularly after he just went through a very traumatic event,
right?
Like, now is not the time.
By the way, you have to die,
right?
Like, you know what I mean? It's just yeah. No. Because like, why would you even have the will to live any of your years?
Yeah,
right.
And that's the thing. If you have, if you knew your clock. Let's think of it this way. If you knew date, time that you would cease from this world, what would you do with your time?
Travel.
You know? Why can't he live his life?
Yeah.
Because if you tell him, what's that going to do to a kid? We're 30-year-old, 30-somethings, you know?
Mm-hmm. 30-something.
No, truly. Well, we're all different ages. So, like, what's that going to do to a kid? Some kids shut down. You know? You never
know.
He
also doesn't know Harry well enough yet.
No, not at all.
Definitely not. I think he can see glimpses of who Harry can be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially for a kid who should have turned out not good. Like mm-hmm. Harry did, you know,
right,
you can see right. that right off the bat because Dumbledore knows what situation he was in.
Yeah.
And then Harry's like, why can't Quirrell touch me? And Dumbledore says, your mother died to save you. If there's one thing Voldemort cannot understand, it is love. He didn't realize that love, as powerful as your mother's for you, leaves its own mark. Not a scar, not a visible sign. To have been loved so deeply, even though the person who loved us is gone, will give us some protection forever. That makes me think of Ariana.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I'm not sure about his relationship with his mother.
I don't know Aberforth, if it was super Aberforth, good.
Yeah, I just feel like something was off there. And Aberforth says that like he was Ariana's favorite, but you know, we don't know anything about Ariana and her relationship with, I'm going to say Albus, which is weird to say. You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
yeah.
So we're not sure. I mean, the way that Dumbledore acts around that whole thing makes me feel that their relationship was very good. Mm-hmm. I just think that maybe that summer that we hear about, and all we hear is Aberforth's side. But we don't know about any of the other times. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I like what Vinny just said. He said, this quote is 100% the author talking about herself as she wrote this book in big part because of her mother's death.
Mm.
Okay.
That gives me feels. Yeah. So it's in your very skin, Quirrell full of hatred, greed, and ambition. Sharing his soul with Voldemort could not touch you for this reason. It was agony to touch a person marked by something so good. Then he talks about the invisibility cloak. Ah, your father happened to leave it in my possession, and I thought you might like it. Useful things. Your father used it mainly for sneaking off to the kitchens to steal food when he was here.
Solid. Was James yeah. a Hufflepuff?
It took Harry a long time to make it to the kitchens.
Yeah, four
Especially
years.
Especially because
four
years, he yeah. told him right here. I would have been the next day I was out of that hospital wing, I'd been like, where's the kitchens?
Right? I gotta find him.
And that's just like a call out to Deathly Hallows and that whole conversation around seven. Go ahead, bingo people.
Ding ding ding.
You know, when they're talking about the Deathly Hallows and Harry's trying to justify that they're real to Hermione and she's not having it. And finally, alas, earwax.
Love it.
Ooh. Sounds yes. terrible.
All right. Chamber of Secrets. Largely, in part, all these moments are from the end of the book. Well, mid to end. I just like his BA-ness
Mm-hmm. I want it understood, Cornelius, that Hagrid has my full confidence, said Dumbledore, frowning at Fudge. So I like that because he's standing up for Hagrid.
Yes. Yeah.
That's one of my favorite moments. Because
yeah, I love that moment.
McGonagall mentions it like later on in the series. And it's like, finally, people understand that they can trust him. And Harry protects him in 7 as well when like pretty much everybody in the order automatically assumes that Hagrid is the person that let slip the Fly of the Seven Potters plan. Because they were like, you know, somebody talked because they knew it was tonight and blah, 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 blah.
You want to know something sad? Dumbledore is the only person that we know of that has Hagrid's back until
Harry,
the end of 6.
There are moments where the trio doesn't.
Yeah, you're right. Dumbledore's the only one who's like 100% solid.
Yeah.
Since he was like 13.
And honestly, out of the whole trio, Hermione probably gives him the most support.
I agree.
But Dumbledore, definitely.
Well, I will say, I think Hermione and Harry flip-flop because I think Harry, a lot of the time, his first instinct is like, no, let's go to Hagrid. Yeah. And Hermione will sometimes be like, it's after hours, you're dumb, we can't do that. And Harry's like, I don't care. But then you've got the whole, you're going to talk about it later when she helped him out big time in 3. So,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So it flip-flops.
Mm. Yeah.
Dumbledore's loyalty to him, though, just like knows no bounds, you know?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Sorry about my coughing, you guys. My allergies are off the hook.
Dude, you know, my nose just leave. Is so itchy right now. I keep like, I swear to God, I'm not picking my nose. It's itchy.
Well, you missed whatever. Your allergy meds a couple days.
I know.
Like Philly.
I have to talk about this next part, and then I have to talk about something that we talked about in a previous episode where we were what I think is wrong. Okay. Quote, however, said Dumbledore, speaking very slowly and clearly so that none of them could miss a word. You will find that I will only truly have left this school when none here are loyal to me. You will also find that help will always be given at Hogwarts to those who ask for it. For a second, Harry was almost sure Dumbledore's eyes flicked toward the corner where he and Ron stood hidden. We talked about Dumbledore being able to see through the Cloak of Invisibility. But because this moment came up in our discussion. But none of us ever talked about what was going on before this line. Do you want to know?
Is it? Tell me.
Harry and Ron were elbowing each other and making audible sounds.
Yeah. I also, somebody else mentioned, I think maybe after the recording, that there was extra mugs on the table.
Yeah, I said that. Yeah. I said that during, okay, I think. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So he was just, you know.
Smart.
Yep.
and could hear them because they were like shushing each other and making sounds.
And he knows that Harry does have the cloak. So right. Two and so two together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
So he's like looking toward where the sound came from. All right. Yes. Anywho. But I like that because Harry thinks about that in order to get the Sword of Gryffindor and whatnot.
Yeah.
I like this a lot. Because his eyes are twinkling. First of all, Harry, I want to thank you, said Dumbledore, eyes twinkling again. You must have shown me real loyalty down in the chamber. Nothing but that could have called Fox to you. Oh, a wee bird.
Oh, and the only bird that I like.
Oh, wow. He's red like a cardinal.
I know.
Love it.
Twice cool.
And then connecting Harry's Slytherinisms. I like this. You can speak Parseltongue, Harry, said Dumbledore calmly, because Lord Voldemort, who is the last remaining descendant of Salazar Slytherin, can speak Parseltongue. Unless I am much mistaken, he transferred some of his own powers to you the night he gave you that scar. Not something he intended to do, I'm sure. Read between the lines. like Harry would have never known because he doesn't know what Horcruxes are, but like that's like a huge like me 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 me. That's gonna come up later. You are part Voldemort.
Part Voldemort.
I like when he tells him that only a true Gryffindor could have pulled that out of the hat, Harry. And I'm like, yeah, makes me feel like a lion.
I know. And I think that that is such like a call out to Neville and Seven too.
Mm-hmm. Only a true Gryffindor. Because so many people were like, ew, there's Neville and Gryffindor. Because he's amazing.
That's he's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
I love Neville.
Deserves to be there. Absolutely. And I love how he just straight up owns Lucius Malfoy. I think Lucius says prove it when they're talking about slipping the diary into Ginny's cauldron. And he says, oh, no one will be able to do that, said Dumbledore, smiling at Harry. Not now that Riddle has vanished from the book. On the other hand, I would advise you, Lucius, not to go giving out any more of Lord Voldemort's old school things. If any more of them find their way into innocent hands, I think Arthur Weasley, for one, will make sure that they are traced back to you. Yes.
I didn't hear you say, like, his things from school that were old. I heard, like, he's got some stuff that's old school.
Oh, ah!
And I was like, what?
Old school things.
Old school.
That's hilarious. All right, let's go to Katie's fave book.
The best book.
Owl's Caban.
This is mainly towards the end. Because we always have these gigantic conversations with Dumbledore at the ends of these books, right? He's kind of like... grifting around, you never really see
even
him
in Seven when
year.
He's dead.
Mm-hmm. When he's dead,
he still manages to have a big conversation.
True. So this is after all the garbageness that happens in the Shrieking Shack and Whomping Willow and all that. Quote, Dumbledore looked up, a wide smile appeared under the long silver mustache. Well, he said quietly. I love that in the movie. I think he did that really well. We did it, said Harry breathlessly. Sirius has gone on Buckbeak. Dumbledore beamed at them. Well done, I think. He listened intently for any sound within the hospital wing. Yes, I think you've gone too. Get inside. I'll lock you in. And I just like that because, I don't know. It's just, he trusted them so much. And some people will probably be like, oh my God, they're kids. But like, these are different kind of kids. Also, this is a fantasy world. I don't know if we need to remember that.
Tiffany.
But like, truly, I just like it because I feel like kids deserve that confidence and trust from adults. It makes them feel good. I don't know, because I work with kids every single day. Obviously, I have my own. And when your kids know that you trust them and you believe them, it makes like all the difference in the world.
For sure.
And Dumbledore didn't have to believe them in their story. Right?
Yeah.
It sounds insane. This guy who has been dead for 12 years is a rat. Okay. Right. And he's been sleeping in your best friend's bed.
Right.
Who's going to believe this?
And this guy who's a mass murderer isn't a mass murderer at all. And they did a little switcheroo.
Right. Yep.
Like, it does sound insane.
It does. Yeah. He definitely didn't have to believe them. He could have questioned them. He could have went searching for more answers, but no, 100% had faith in them because these are different kids.
I like what Kara said. It's so important to make sure kids feel heard and believed.
Absolutely. All right.
He does a great job with that.
Harry's feeling a little down in the dumps because like his whole plans for his future that he didn't know that he wasn't going to be able to have anyway are gone, and he's says to Dumbledore that it didn't make any difference what they did. And he goes, "Didn't make any difference," said Dumbledore quietly. "It made all the difference in the world, Harry. You helped uncover the truth. You saved an innocent man from a terrible fate." Terrible is not a good enough word for what would have happened to him.
I just realized Remus says that in the movie.
Yeah, you're right. It is the
exact quote.
They gave a Dumbledore quote to Remus.
Because it's freaking awesome.
Remus.
I really want a root beer. Just really thought about root beer. I don't know why. Sorry. Intrusive thoughts. As Britney Spears would say.
Do you have a counter, Meg's intrusive thought counter?
I really want a sarsaparilla.
Go like this.
A sarsaparilla.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my god.
And then they're talking about Trelawney and how she made a prediction, and Dumbledore looked mildly impressed. "You know, Harry, I think she might have made a real prediction," he said thoughtfully. "Who'd have thought it? That brings her total of real predictions up to 2. I should offer her a pay raise." He's so savage sometimes.
Oh my gosh.
But Harry looked at him aghast. How could Dumbledore take this so calmly? Interesting word, calmly.
Michael Gambon.
And then we talk about like the time turner, we being Harry and Dumbledore. And consequences of our actions are always so complicated, so diverse, that predicting the future is very difficult business indeed, because humans make split decisions all the time. And then he goes on to say, "Professor Trelawney, bless her, is living proof of that. You did a very noble thing in saving Pettigrew's life." Here we go. "But if it helps Voldemort back to power, Pettigrew owes his life to you. You have sent Voldemort a deputy who is in your debt. When one wizard saves another wizard's life, it creates a certain bond," SJM, "between them. And I am much mistaken if Voldemort wants his servant in the debt of Harry Potter." Boom. Roasted.
So that is like major foreshadowing to Pettigrew.
Yeah.
Pettigrew's death.
Yeah. Do you think if Voldemort knew that he was in a life debt, he would have killed him? Or do you think he doesn't?
I think he kind of did kill him, didn't he?
Well, no, I meant like but beforehand.
I think it was his intention. He's like, "Well, I know he's going to owe Harry someday. So when he does cross me, this hand will kill him."
Now, do you think he necessarily knew that Pettigrew was going to have anything to owe him? Or was Voldemort banking on the fact that Pettigrew himself was a liar and not to be trusted and was weak in his mind and would show that weakness?
Yeah.
I
was gonna say, I think he just put a curse on that hand with any sense of weakness or sympathy or anything like that. Like, the curse is kill you.
It's a silver sick hand.
A silver stick hand.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say, did he live with the Weasley family because he's a weasel?
But he's a rat.
But like, he like weaseled his way out of his situation by going and living with the Weasleys.
That is true.
Right?
Snaps for that. I'll take it.
It's good. Just good.
It's Weaselton.
Weaselton. Oh, Harry's like, "I don't want to bond with Pettigrew. He betrayed my parents." And then Dumbledore says, "This is magic at its deepest, most impenetrable, Harry. But trust me, the time may come when you will be very glad you saved Pettigrew's life."
A couple years from now. In a dungeon, under a manor,
in a very weird way. And I would like to point out that Harry Potter and Ron Weasley also tried to save his life in that moment.
Yes,
but
you're
could not.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Harry,
better people than me.
You wonderful human, you.
I gotta hurry up through this. You think the dead we have loved ever truly leave us? You think that we don't recall then more clearly ever in times of great trouble? Your father is alive in you, Harry, and shows himself more plainly when you have need of him. How else could you produce that particular Patronus? Prongs rode again last night. And I really like that because it's deep and it's meaningful.
Mm-hmm. He lives in you. He lives in me.
Goblet of fire.
Hot cup of fire.
Sorry.
Can I have a cup of water? Like, he let it cool. I just need to know it was hot first. Sorry, I'm the worst.
Jeez. No, I didn't order that.
Oh my God.
I like this because it's also a savage moment. And it just shows the playfulness of Dumbledore. Mr. Filch, the caretaker, has asked me to tell you that the list of objects forbidden inside the castle has this year been extended to include screaming yo-yos, fanged frisbees, and ever-bashing boomerangs. The full list comprises some 437 items, I believe, and can be viewed in Mr. Filch's office if anybody would like to check it. The corners of Dumbledore's mouth twitched.
Oh my God.
And then he just like casually is like, the Forbidden Forests are out of bounds. Don't go there. And then some people are going Hogsmeade this year. I'm like, bro, just so cash.
Some people, forest, but not Harry.
The forest can kill you. Can we mention this for these first years?
Harry can go this year. It's Goblet.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently they don't care about the permission slip after third year if you don't get it signed even for fourth year. Since you're a fourth year, you can go.
No, Sirius Black signed it.
Oh, that's right, never mind, you're right.
But like,
wow, right?
Am I a fan?
Fake fan.
Who's Eileen Brandt?
That's so random.
And here's another savage moment. I am not joking, Mr. Weasley, he said, though now that you mention it, I did hear an excellent one over the summer about a troll, a hag, and a leprechaun who all go into a bar. Professor McGonagall cleared her throat loudly. Or maybe this is not the time. No, said Professor, said Dumbledore. Where was I?
He's I'd like just to know silly this in this joke. Book.
He is, yeah. But like, that's who he is. And I like that because as I'm like, I like that we can wear hats, right? I'm a professional and I feel like I know my stuff when it comes to the world of education, right? But then on the other hand, I can put on my other hat and I'm like a kid at heart. Mm-hmm. And I love these books and I love video games. Like I enjoy that. It's so nice to see people who are professionals be real and silly and fun. And I just like that. Yeah. This is everybody's favorite. Professor Dumbledore was now looking down at Harry, who looked right back at him, trying to discern the expression of the eyes behind the half-moon spectacles. Did you put your name into the Goblet of Fire, Harry? He asked calmly. Mic drop.
Okay, now say it. Say it right.
Did you put your name into the Goblet of Fire? Judge Harry, did you ask one of the old students to do it for you? Judge.
Why does he sound like that? He sounds like a mad Santa Claus. Oh. And I don't know why.
My God.
Fast forward to the very sad ending of this book that might be, I don't know. It's just really sad. This is after they come back with the portkey. Harry, you can't help him now. It's over. Let go. He wanted me to bring him back, Harry muttered. It seemed important to explain this. He wanted me to bring him back to his parents. That's right, Harry. Just let go now. Dumbledore bent down and with extraordinary strength for a man so old and thin, raised Harry from the ground and set him on his feet. Is that what he said to himself before? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He
probably had a long time to think about the right thing to say in a situation like that. You know what I mean, though? Like, mm-hmm. He probably didn't have anybody to say that to him, but that, looking back on it, is something he wished somebody would have said to him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is where you see the first time you see the strength and power of him, really, like truly. Stupefy. There was a blinding flash of red light and a great splintering and crashing. The door of Moody's office was blasted apart. Moody was thrown backwards onto the office floor. Harry was still staring at the place where Moody's face.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Had been. Saw Dumbledore, Professor Snape, and Professor McGonagall looking back at him out of the faux glass. He looked around and saw all the three of them standing in the doorway. Dumbledore in front, his wand outstretched. At that moment, Harry fully understood for the first time why people said Dumbledore was the only wizard Voldemort had ever feared. The look upon Dumbledore's face as he stared down at the unconscious form of Mad-Eye Moody was more terrible than Harry could have ever imagined. There was no benign smile upon Dumbledore's face, no twinkle in the eyes behind the spectacles. There was cold fury in every line of the ancient face. A sense of power radiated from Dumbledore as though he were giving off burning heat. He stepped into the office, placed a foot underneath Moody's unconscious body, and kicked him over onto his back so that his face was visible. Can I get an amen up in here? You know what I mean?
Amen.
Yes! Let's go. That's some power, and I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Not only can we make jokes, we can kick your butt, too.
Mm-hmm. I hope when he kicked him over, everyone could see his purple high-heeled boots.
Yes.
I thought you were going to say, like, his purple underwear or something.
What?
I don't know.
Dumbledore would wear purple underwear.
He would.
I approve that decision.
Yeah. What I was thinking. That's why I thought
it probably matches. It probably matches. He strikes me as somebody that would match the undergarments to the outer garments. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I do. And do his shoes. Mm-hmm.
I like your shoes. Thanks. They match my underwear.
Thanks.
Then we get into them talking about what happened when Harry and Cedric took the portkey. He said my blood would make him stronger than if he'd used someone else's, Harry told Dumbledore. He said the protection my mother left in me, I read that wrong. He'd have it too. And he was right. He could touch me without hurting himself. He touched my face. So this is obviously relating back to Voldy face and Quirrell's head. For a fleeting instant, Harry thought he saw a gleam of something like triumph in Dumbledore's eyes. But next second, Harry was sure he had imagined it.
You didn't.
For when Dumbledore had returned to his seat behind the desk, he looked as old and weary as Harry had ever seen him. Very well, he said, sitting down again. Voldemort has overcome that particular barrier, Harry continued, please. Tied to life while Voldemort lives. That was the big break. That was when Dumbledore probably felt like, oh, dang. This can actually happen, and by this can actually happen, I mean Harry can sacrifice himself, get rid of the Horcrux within him, and still live. And his guesses are very nearly always right, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I love
He's
that.
A smart and
I,
cookie.
And he, like, can't help but have that triumphant look on his face, but then go right back to being like, we can't think about that now. Obviously, I can't tell him that now. Yep. Let's go.
But his mind
this.
Is reeling. You know hey. It's reeling.
Absolutely. Then he's like boosting him up, like you've shown bravery tonight and shouldered a grown wizard's burden and found yourself equal to it and now have given us all that we have the right to expect. Like he knows that Harry is the hero in this and he knows that Harry's going to stop at absolutely nothing to take Voldemort down. And he talks about that in 7 at King's Cross when he's like, if you didn't know about this, what would you want? And he's like, well, I would want Voldemort dead. Well, duh, that's because you're you, right?
Yeah.
It's not because of a prophecy. It's not because of anything else. Like, Harry in himself, just like his parents, want Voldemort dead because that's who they are, right? There was no prophecy about James or Lily.
they went and joined the Order of the Phoenix because they wanted him dead. And that was all on their own with nothing attached to it, right? And that's who Harry is too. He's a born fighter. He's a born stand up for what's right kind of guy. But also break the rules when it applies to your need.
Mm-hmm. I mean.
And
yeah.
That's me, honey. That's Gryffindors. You follow those rules, but I can break them because I know that I'm responsible when breaking them.
I'm breaking them for the right reasons.
Exactly. If that's like the most Gryffindor thing in the whole entire world.
I feel like that is an incredibly Slytherin quality, too. That is definitely a commonality there.
Oh, yeah. Because we know what we're doing, right, Megan?
Right. Yeah, we're smart.
And Katie's over there like, don't break the rules.
No, please don't. Can we not? Do it. I don't like it. So talking about Harry goes through a lot of this. I feel like this is the start of like the really extra difficult part of his life. So Dumbledore says, you've shown bravery beyond anything I could have expected of you tonight, Harry. You have shown bravery equal to those who died fighting Voldemort at the height of his power. You have shouldered a grown wizard's burden and found yourself equal to it, and you have now given us all that we have a right to expect. And I don't know. I just feel like that's what he does, and he rises to the occasion every time, as hard as it is. And then he goes on to say, you place too much importance, and you always have done, on the so-called purity of blood. You fail to recognize that it matters not what someone is born with, that they grow to be. And Dumbledore says that to Fudge when they're talking in the hospital wing. I could not think of
where
the word.
I was just like hanging like. Okay.
I know. It was going to get out there. But we like, there. truly, Fudge is an absolute fool in this part. An absolute fool. And this is Dumbledore's speech at the end to the students. He says, I say to you all once again, in light of Lord Voldemort. Oh, I'm sorry. This is not. This is still in the hospital wing. The last part is in the hall. I say to you all once again, in the light of Lord Voldemort's return, that we are only as strong as we are united, as weak as we are divided. Lord Voldemort's gift for spreading discord and enmity is very great. We can fight it only by showing an equally strong bond of friendship and trust. Differences of habit and language are nothing at all if our aims are identical and our hearts are open. Else, thank you. And then this part, I think I cried my way through big time. Remember, Cedric, remember if the time should come when you have to make a choice between what is right and what is easy. Remember what happened to the boy who is good and kind and brave because he strayed across the path of Lord Voldemort. Remember, Cedric Diggory.
Sorry.
Just absolute... madness.
Yeah.
Are we ready for Order of the Phoenix?
Give it to me.
Because this book
sucked.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh my God.
But like, truly, this book was really difficult, and it was really difficult for me to like go back and read just because of how Dumbledore operated and what he had to do in order to not have Voldemort know what the Order of the Phoenix was doing, essentially, and their plans. Here we go. Starting at the beginning of the book, after the Dementors attack at Little Whinging.
Witness for the defense!
Albus Percival Wulfric Brown Dumbledore, said a quiet voice from behind Harry, who turned his head so fast he cricked his neck. Dumbledore was striding serenely across the room, wearing long midnight blue robes, and was perfectly calm expression. His long silver beard and hair gleamed
in the torchlight as he drew level with Harry and looked up at Fudge through the half-moon spectacles that rested halfway down his very crooked nose. Do you know what's interesting to me? Episky wasn't used on him, huh? He could have done that. I wonder if he didn't fix his nose on purpose, so it's a reminder.
I think we might have talked about that before. Like, did it get broken that night? That Ariana may have...
Yeah.
No.
I bet. No, Aberforth the fight with broke Grindelwald.
Aberforth broke it at the funeral.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. That's yeah, right.
Pow, right.
Like Hermione punched Malfoy.
Yeah, yeah. I guarantee he did not fix his nose on purpose.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem the type to, like, let himself forget and the cost of things because it keeps him moving. Onions, you know?
Layers.
Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
Oh, shoot.
Put it in the
I got half one right here.
Hey. And I love that they're like, oh, well, Fudge is like, oh, you got our no. And he's like, I must have missed it, said Dumbledore cheerfully. However, due to a lucky mistake, I arrived at the ministry 3 hours early. So no harm done. He knows, man. He knows that you're
freaking
garbage.
Sass.
Sorry. I need to take a drink. My throat is freaking dry. I need to get through this. Gotta get through this. Gotta get through this. Okay. I love that when Dumbledore, like, clears his throat, the Wizengamot goes silent because they know what's up.
Yeah.
And yeah. So now we are at the battle because if you don't remember, Dumbledore is very much absent in this book until the very end.
Is he?
Okay.
I kind of felt that way about Hermione in six for whatever reason. I was like, wait, what does she do in six?
Because they're fighting. Yes.
What is she doing?
What does she do?
Avoiding you.
I found things. Don't worry.
So Harry turned to look where Neville was staring directly above them, framed in the doorway from the brain room. I love this brain room. Stood Albus Dumbledore, his wand aloft, his face white and furious. Harry felt a kind of electric charge surge through every particle of his body. They were saved. Dumbledore had already sped past Neville and Harry, who had no more thoughts of leaving when the Death Eaters nearest realized Dumbledore was there and yelled to the others. One of the Death Eaters ran for it, scrambling like a monkey up the stone steps. Dumbledore's spell pulled him back easily and effortlessly, as though he had hooked him with an invisible line.
Such cool love magic.
That he's just like,
yeah,
done. Wrap it up.
I love that moment where Harry is just like, they were saved. It's like, it reminds me, I think that they did such a good job of that feeling in the Order of the Phoenix movie when the Order arrives. It's when, like, so Kingsley, cool. It's like the white and like the music.
Yes, it's
done so well. Guys, I love that movie. I know people hate it, but like there's aspects of it that are just
lonely
done
in that.
So well.
There are some, yeah. I mean, there's glimmering bright spots in all the movies, dare I say.
Yeah.
Even Deathly Hallows. Deathly Hallows Part 1 isn't that bad.
Do you want to know the best part of Part 2?
None of it.
When Harry grabs Voldemort around the neck and then they're flying through the sky.
Let's do this together.
Let's finish this how we started, Tom. Together.
I wish you would have called him Thomas seriously.
Thomas.
together.
Like, no.
That would have never happened.
And then they merge. Boof. I don't like it.
The hand on like the faces and like the No, it's so dumb. It's so freaking dumb.
That was 100%
catering to the times.
Yeah, catering to 3D.
But like, I never saw it in 3D.
Who wants that?
I did. I mean, it
in
did
their
look
face.
Cool, but like,
it's terrifying.
It looks great.
Yeah, I didn't see it in 3D.
I would have vomited for sure. Okay.
In 3D.
coming right at you. Projectile. So now we're in like that open area of the ministry, and the headless golden statue springs to life, leaping from its plinth and landing on the floor with a great crash between Harry and Voldemort. So it's like, boom, shield. We can't do a regular shield because we're like so much better than that. I'm just going to use like the art as a shield. It's very
polished. Let's just destroy the art.
Well, yep. Yeah, so the spell merely glanced off its chest and the statue flung out its arms protecting Harry. What? Said Voldemort, staring around. I love that confusion. Sit with it, Voldemort. You suck. And then he breathed. Dumbledore. Dun, dun, dun. It was foolish for you to come here tonight, Tom, said Dumbledore calmly. The Aurors are on their way. And then he's like, I love that line, though. What does he say? Like, by time you shall be dead. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
oh my god, Tiffany just got the creepiest Voldemort face on.
But that's what he looked like. I know. She did a good job.
I know.
Thank you. Oh man. I just love this whole fight. I think it's absolutely fantastic. We both know that there are other ways of destroying a man, Tom. Like, not death. Dumbledore said calmly. Hey.
I know so, you're Horcruxes.
So calm.
Do you pick that up? We both know there are other ways of destroying a man, Tom. Mm. That's him being like, I know about your secret. continuing to walk toward Voldemort as though he had not a fear in the world, as though nothing had happened to interrupt his stroll in the hall. Merely taking your life would not satisfy me, I admit. Can't go. I love it. He has so many freaking good lines. There's nothing worse than death, Dumbledore, snarled Voldemort. You are quite wrong, said Dumbledore, still closing in upon Voldemort and speaking as lightly as though they were discussing the matter over drinks. Harry felt scared to see him walking along undefended, shieldless.
He's not undefended. Don't worry about him.
It's just great. And you know what I didn't realize that I didn't remember until I was like, oh, look at that chapter art. And then I was like, oh, that really happens. That Voldemort like conjures a shield. Like a literal shield.
Oh.
Instead of a shield charm, which I thought that was interesting. I'm like, ooh.
I'm sure it's a magical shield.
Are there swords?
It's magical.
And then I love this.
In Charlie the Unicorn.
Oh.
Oh, Leopleurodon.
It's a Leopleurodon, Charlie.
A magical Leopleurodon. Sorry.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So Fudge is there and he's like, Dumbledore's here. Yeah, you're supposed to be caught. Cornelius, I'm ready to fight your men and win again, said Dumbledore in a thunderous voice.
Pindia again.
Oh, very good. Very good.
I just unlocked Nala and Simba in Disney Dreamlight Valley.
To help them escape the hyenas.
Yep.
You could be playing Zelda, but whatever.
I know.
Mm-hmm. I hope you feel guilty every time you put that system on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm just kidding.
Are you?
Am I? No. And then we know that people obviously like make tons and tons and tons of mistakes and that these characters are written very well with making those mistakes. And I love that. I know there's so much that he doesn't tell Harry at the end of this book. But I love that he does own up to certain mistakes that he has made. And he says, it's my fault that Sirius died, said Dumbledore clearly.
Yeah, it is.
And that's right. I mean, he goes on to say that he can't take 100% credit for that because Bellatrix would never let that go. But what he did to Sirius was absolutely wrong. There were other ways. He could have been a dog in his office hanging out with Foxy Boy, just chewing on bones, cuddle bone for Foxy Boy. And then I like this last one because it is so, so true. Youth cannot know how age thinks and feels, but old men are guilty if they forget what it was to be young. And I seem to have forgotten lately. Own it. People make mistakes, but the difference that it makes with everything is that when you own them and recognize them and admit when you're wrong. And not a lot of people can do that. And I like to think that I do it, but I probably don't do it every time. But, you know, I think we can become better people if we can admit when we are wrong.
100%.
And own up to our mistakes.
It's I'm really never wrong.
Yeah, we know. All right, my last one and the last one of this episode, because we've been here for 40 years. We're Moses walking through the desert. Let's go. Okay. We're at the beginning of Half-Blood, right? And this is where the Dursleys get owned.
Truly.
Judging by your look of stunned disbelief, Harry did not warn you that I was coming, said Dumbledore pleasantly. However, let us assume that you have invited me warmly into your house. It is unwise to linger overlong on doorsteps in these troubled times. I like that because there's a subtle mm-hmm in there. It is a long time since my last visit, said Dumbledore, peering down his crooked nose at Uncle Vernon. I must say, how do I say this? That's a plant. You know plants. What is that?
Agapanthus.
What is that, a dinosaur plant? I don't understand what this is.
I'm Googling it.
Is it a desirable? I just need to know that. They're flourishing. Well, they're
also called
Lily of the Nile.
Oh, interesting. Lily. Protection, Lily. Okay. That's very good. Did we connect that before?
I don't know.
Somebody in Discord tell us, because honest to God, some of the stuff we say in here, right out of my brain.
Yeah. This is brand new information.
I feel like we had to. Like, I wouldn't have read that word and not wanted to look it up.
Right.
Right?
We would hope.
Oh, Janine, I think you did, and then it started a flower debate again.
Thank you.
Is that I hate most thing? Lilies.
Jeez. You what?
I hate most lilies.
She hates Lily.
Like lilies?
Evans Potter. Or she like said that.
Daylilies.
No, most lilies in general. They all kind of look the same, don't they?
Yeah.
They bloom for like 5 seconds and then the leaves fall off. And just then like it's geraniums. Just ugly green flowers.
So you want like ugly a green leaves. You want like an evergreen bloom. You want something to bloom all year.
Yeah. I love Lily Evans. Lupin.
Potter.
But I don't like <Jeez. laughs> orchids annoy me. Sam asked, do you like orchids? They just kind of annoy me.
Like, what annoyance do you get from freaking florals? I need to know. You see that and you're automatically irritated. Like, yeah. I can't stand this. How dare there be floral arrangements of orchids in this place?
Well, I will say orchids look a little suggestive, first of all. And second,
what flower doesn't?
Orchids also, like, if you lose that bloom, like, good luck getting another one. You just got a green stalk in dirt for, like, years. Like, what's the point? I'm just saying.
Orchids are suggestive. Put them on the list. Put it on the list.
Who are you, Georgia O'Keefe?
That's immediately
I am an artiste.
What?
I am an artiste.
You are.
I have an art degree.
I have an art degree. Actually, a Bachelor of Arts.
Oh my God. All right. Well,
that means sorry, I'm orchids. BA.
We hardly knew ye.
And I don't know what's wrong with me.
Started. There's a lot.
I know.
And it's mostly just flowers.
It's really just like vegetation.
I know.
It is. You hate vegetation.
No.
And
no,
did
no.
you know
agriculture? Would that be more appropriate? Landscaping?
Landscaping.
I don't know. But can we talk about this for a second? And then I truly need to move on because I have to go put my child to bed. But this woman. And I bet it was you, wasn't it, Megan? Put on your shared Instagram page with your wife storms.
a stormy sky. And what did that say? What did it say, Megan?
I love the aesthetic of storms.
But Tiffany can't.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
You can't have that.
I don't like your love of the aesthetic of storms, but I love the aesthetic of storms.
I love it too much.
Yeah, you love it too much.
I take
much.
Away from you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Only one can love it. And it's Meg.
I think.
Do you
want to
know
Megan
what the problem is?
Jealous of my love for the aesthetics of storms. She wants my love all for herself.
I think what it is, is that I can get by with a fake aesthetic of storms and you can't. And that's where the problem lies.
Get a sound machine.
Get a sound machine.
Oh my God.
I love
came
you.
And said hi. By the way, I love you too. I love you more than the aesthetics of storms.
I love you more than the aesthetic of storms too.
All right. As long as we're being honest with one another this evening.
Yeah.
I admit I made a mistake in saying I love it. Oh, that's what you get. Sneeze.
God, it's the freaking vegetation up in here.
Oh, blame the orchids. God.
It's orchids.
It's the suggestiveness of the orchids. All right. So Vernon goes, I don't mean to be rude, he began, in a tone that threatened rudeness in every syllable. Yet, sadly, accidental rudeness occurs alarmingly often, Dumbledore finished the sentence gravely. Best to say nothing at all, my dear man. Ah, and this must be Petunia. Awkward!
I like petunias.
Okay.
You don't like lilies. You like.
Isn't that funny? Petunias. Because I love Lily the character and I hate Petunia the character, but I don't like lily flowers and I do like Petunia flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're an interesting human.
I know.
But I love you.
Mm-hmm. I love you too.
These lists are getting long. Okay. another great quote from this whole scene. Shall we assume that you have invited me into your sitting room? I would assume that you were going to offer me a refreshment, Dumbledore said to Uncle Vernon, but the evidence so far suggests that that would be optimistic to the point of foolishness.
He's just so sassy at the start of this book. It's so great.
Savage.
And then it gets really good. Now, as you already know, the wizard called Lord Voldemort has returned to this country. The wizarding community is currently in a state of open warfare. Harry, whom Lord Voldemort has already attempted to kill on a number of occasions, is in even greater danger now than the day when I left him upon your doorstep 15 years ago. With a letter explaining about his parents' murder and expressing the hope that you would care for him as though he were your own. Dumbledore paused, and although his voice remained light and calm, he gave no obvious sign of anger. Harry felt a chill emanating from him and noticed that the Dursleys drew very slightly close together. You did not do as I have asked you. You have never treated Harry as a son. He has known nothing but neglect and often cruelty at your hands. The best that can be said is that he at least escaped from the appalling damage you have inflicted upon this unfortunate boy sitting between you. And you know what kills me about that? Is literally right after he says that about Dudley, Petunia's like, what? Diddykins? She disregards all the stuff that he said previously. Yep. One ear out the other. She doesn't care.
She's...
And that's why she didn't say anything at the end of seven. Yeah, she hovers on words, but she missed her opportunity and she can kick rocks.
I
really don't like her.
Incredibly mm-hmm. unredeemable to me.
Yeah.
Just. Yeah.
I think about toddler Harry,
mm-hmm.
and it makes me sick.
Yeah.
It literally, like, it makes me sick.
Yeah.
Like, two, 3, 4-year-old Harry.
Can you imagine?
Especially,
that'd be, like, almost like Jamesy boy getting dropped off at somebody's doorstep and then being abused in that way.
And,
is abuse.
Thinking of the photo of him on the little toy broomstick and James chasing after him and how he went from that to the Dursleys.
To ignored and unliked. It's a miracle he turned out to be good.
Such a rage.
Yeah, truly.
So if y'all want to give Petunia and Vernon redeemable things,
I don't think you can.
Yeah, they are not for me at all.
Mm-hmm. I think this is one of everybody's favorite quotes. And now, Harry, let us step out into the night and pursue that flighty temptress adventure.
I love that quote.
Yeah.
So good. This next one's also great. We're with Slughorn now. No, I was merely reading the Muggle magazine, said Dumbledore. I do love knitting patterns.
This is when Michael Gambon started getting it right.
Yeah.
Just in time for his character to die.
Yeah.
Honestly. Okay, now we're in the Weasley's shed, and he's talking about if you'd never knew there was a prophecy, what would you want to happen? And he's like, well, I'd want Voldemort dead. He says, spoken like both your mother and father's son, and Sirius' true godson, said Dumbledore, with an approving pat on Harry's back. I take my hat off to you, or I would, if I were not afraid of showering you in spiders.
Ew. Spider shower sounds like the worst kind of nightmare.
For Ron, definitely. And now we're looking at memories and stuff, and... Sorry. He's like, from this point forth, we shall be leaving the firm foundation of fact and journeying together through the murky marshes of memory into the thickets of wildest guesswork. And I just love the way that that's written. I love the way that he speaks.
I need to hear a conversation between Albus Dumbledore and Moira Rose, because those words flinging off each other would be amazing.
Yes, yeah, it would be amazing. It really would. And now we're hunting Horcruxes. Oh, I need to go back to something that I thought of while I was reading. Three different times Dumbledore has come onto the scene, and I think the first time was Goblet of Fire, where Harry felt some kind of burning emanating from Dumbledore. Mm-hmm. And then in 5, he felt that electric. Right? There was like an electricity that went through him when Dumbledore arrived at the ministry. And now this, when his conversation mm-hmm. with the Dursleys, he felt a chill. Headcanon now, because I just connected this like 2 minutes ago. I feel like Dumbledore is so powerful that there's like a raw power that physically emanates from him. That
an ancient power, around. Would you say?
Ew.
I don't know. I just feel like
no, I like that.
It's like too much for his body to contain, so it comes out. You know how the magic comes out when they're little because they can't control it? I feel like that's what his does, except it puts certain feelings into the room.
I feel like it's ancient magic from Hogwarts Legacy.
No, truly, though. I love that theory that you came up with. I like that.
Fits.
Well, let's go back into ancient magic, because that's what we think that this is. So they're at the cave, and Dumbledore is like, this is the spot. And Harry says, how can you tell? Harry spoke in a whisper. It is known magic, said Dumbledore simply. Harry could not tell whether the shivers he was experiencing were due to his spine deep coldness or to the same awareness of the enchantments. There you go.
He can back feel it
emanating. Dumbledore
does
that.
I feel it in my fingers.
I feel it
in my toes. Ancient magic all around me. Voldy doesn't know.
Oh my god. Amazing.
Voldy doesn't know should be a song, man.
Voldy doesn't know. I love this part, because he says no to Harry using his own blood. He's like, your blood is worth more than mine. And I'm like, oh, the kindness there. And then more of this ancient magic thing that we think. How did you know that that was there? Harry asked in astonishment. Magic always leaves traces. So this is about the chain that he's pulling up for the boat. As the boat hit the bank with a gentle bump, sometimes very distinctive traces. I taught Tom Riddle. I know his style. So I think like Voldemort's using these old spells, and Dumbledore's like, yeah, I know already. Thank you.
I invented that before you were born.
And then there's a moment where later on where they're talking about
Voldemort's underestimating of Harry, and he says, Voldemort's mistake, Harry, Voldemort's mistake. Age is foolish and forgetful when it underestimates youth. Yes, absolutely, that's true. And then talking more about, like, death and, I guess, the Inferi. There's nothing to be feared from a body, Harry, any more than there is anything to be feared from the darkness. Lord Voldemort, who, of course, secretly fears both, disagrees. But once again, he reveals his own lack of wisdom. It is the unknown we fear when we look upon death and darkness, nothing more. And then when he says, you swore to obey me, Harry, go. There's just power in that moment, and he's saving him in that moment. It's like, what would have happened if Harry would not have listened and gotten under the cloak?
Right.
I bet he would have been captured.
It's one thing to, like, immobilize him, but the cloak.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's it.
All right.
And I took an episode. You're welcome, everyone. I'm glad we decided to me for an hour and a half.
We decided Tiff's notes were so long, which is great. That we're going to split. So this, don't be sorry. So this is the Tiff show, like we said. And then next time, Meg and I will finish up with our characters. But this actually works out. We won't spoil it, but it works out with planning.
It does. It's going
to
be okay.
So it's fine. It was meant to be.
There was so much more that I didn't add.
Dumbledore's a heavy, hefty he's a heavy character.
Yeah.
Hermione's going to be a lot too.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I am going to do some lightning bolt questions. We are going to make these actual really lightning bolt questions. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Sam asked, do you think Harry learned some of his sass from Dumbledore?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. Sam also asked, if bonds and bargains in the Wizarding World were like the Moss verse where you get a tattoo, what tattoo would show up for Harry and Pettigrew? I thought that was cool.
Oh,
what if it was rat, like a really like a, old?
Oh, I was gonna say a rat on Harry and a stag on Pettigrew.
Okay, I like that. I was gonna be like, what if it's literally like old school tattoo design of like a rat, you know, with like thick black outline, like the bright color shading, like just old fashioned tattoo with like the lettering and everything that says like Pettigrew or something.
I'm going to say a rat tail because it looks like a worm and that's what worm tail is. Oh,
I like that. Mm. That's good.
We are worms.
Mike P asks, whose list is more petty? Filch's or mine?
Megan's.
I'm going to go Filch.
Then Filch, she's got 427 items, Tiffany.
Yeah, you Meg has reasoning. Way. Meg has a reason for everything on that list.
Orchids are suggestive is not a reasoning.
They are. Sam with another one. She's got good ones today. Okay, but does Dumbledore wear matching socks or mismatched socks?
I could see both.
I think he matches, but they're funky.
Yeah, I agree with that. They match, but they're funky.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that. Okay, Mia asks, what is your favorite book for Dumbledore moments? One book.
Deathly Hallows.
Okay.
But I couldn't put that in this episode.
That's true. That's true. What would you think is your number two? I'm just curious.
Half-Blood,
okay. That makes sense. Katie, do you have one?
I'm between Half-Blood and Sorcerers.
I was between Sorcerers and Deathly Hallows. Yeah.
Goblet has that moment though at the end that's like
oof. Yeah, he's really great at the end of Goblet. I love Goblet so much more than I used good. To
yeah
same. It's crazy how I didn't like it, not that I didn't like it, but it's my least favorite. It was
yeah. Okay.
Excuse me,
two more, they're quick.
Okay.
I can never remember if it's Evie or Evie, and I'm so sorry. I think it's Evie. Asks, do you think Vernon and Petunia ever realized how they abused Dudley?
No.
No. No.
I don't think they cared to know.
No. And then last one again from Sam. What would you want Dumbledore to knit you?
Knit me?
Mm-hmm.
Socks.
I would want mittens.
I'd like a hat.
I like that we all picked something different.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's Evie. Gosh, I'm so sorry.
Evie. I'm going to remember Evie.
Like Evie. So
our
like
Evie.
Same Pokemon. As the child that I watch.
Yeah.
She's more than just the child Pokemon. That I watch. I love her to death.
Gotta catch them all.
All right.
Go, 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 go.
Oh, sorry. Fan story. Okay. This fan story comes from Julia Froik from April 2022.
Nice.
Hello, Swishers. I recently found your podcast and have been binging it. I recently started a new job and have a lot of time working on my own, so I found your podcast to keep me company. I'm only on episode 90 right now, but really look forward to all the episodes to come. If the story is ever used, I won't know for quite a while. I wonder if you're caught up.
We gave you a year.
Yeah.
So,
oh my god.
I'm kidding.
Like many others, I started reading the books when I was young. I think it was third grade. My school had a 1,000,000 word reader goal.
That's so cool.
Students that read 1,000,000 words got a prize. I'm an overachiever.
Overachiever.
So overachiever.
Katie,
slow down. I'm an overachiever, so of course I had to go for it. All the Harry Potter books combined get you over 1,000,000 words.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
I completed the 1,000,000 words and the prize was a limo ride with all the other 1,000,000 word readers, and we got to go to Culver's for lunch.
That's so cool.
That's amazing.
Culver's has been around since you were in third grade. Why did I like just discover Culver's like not that long ago?
They have nice ice creams.
They do. They also have solid burgers.
Oh, dude, I love their
chicken.
Burgers, but I don't like their fries. Sorry. No.
Cheese curds. Always sub for cheese curds.
Yeah.
Which, cheese as Claudia curds. Said, I too over cheese. So see, we're over cheesers. This started my motivation to read them, but I quickly became obsessed. My whole family was soon reading them, and it became a way for us all to connect. When I started dating my now husband, he thought I was a major nerd because he had never read the books. The teasing was short-lived, though, because soon he was reading the books and loved them just as much as me. The books continued to bring my family together. I recently lost my aunt, who I was very close with. When she died, I started rereading the books and watching the movies again. They were a great comfort. Now my nephew has started reading them, and it was so much fun having the love renewed. I drive him to school, and we talk constantly about Harry Potter. His favorite thing is to go through every single family member and list their Hogwarts house all the way down to the pets. I'm so excited I found your podcast. I'm sorry I missed out for so long on such a fun podcast. I feel like it keeps me company while I feel like it keeps me company while I work alone in my office. You all are so funny and have great insights. What's wrong with me? Thank you for all you do, Julia. P.S. I'm a Ravenclaw with Gryffindor as a close second. My favorite character is Hermione. My Patronus is a fox, and my favorite book is The Half-Blood Prince.
Half-Blood Prince.
Thank you, Julia.
Thank you, Julia. I'm very sorry
about your aunt.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I love that you found solace and that you connect with your family with this. I think that's amazing.
I love that you got to go on a limo ride to Culver's.
Right?
How cute is that?
Please tell me if you got a Culver's? Shake.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, cool. Thank you.
Sounds great.
Okay, guys, here's a bone joke. I don't know if that all got taken out or what, but if you were in Discord. Sure.
If it didn't. I'm very upset.
If you know, you know. Why couldn't the skeleton get out of bed? He was bone tired.
No bones about it. Speaking of bones, hold on. I'm not gonna flash it really though.
Look at hey,
is that the skeleton? Is it like the Disney skeletons?
No, they're doing OHIO.
Oh, cute, nice. Cute. I like that.
This one I have to read because I can literally hear it in Alana's voice, and I don't know why.
Oh.
I think she would love this. What do you call a skeleton who lies? A phony baboni. Oh. I can just hear her saying it.
That's an alarm.
Okay, I'm going to tell her that joke.
Here, I'll text it to you so you don't forget.
Okay, thank you. Because you know I will, because I'm a goldfish.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Wow. After those hilarious jokes from Katie, make sure that you follow us on social media. Myself and Katie are on Instagram and TikTok at The Petrus Family. And Tiffany is on Instagram and TikTok at @TiffSwish_Flick.
One thing.
Yes.
Tears of the Kingdom, baby. What else am I going to do? No, honestly, though, that and I'm listening to The Unhoneymooners. I'm only on chapter 5, so not very far.
And you're liking it, though?
Yeah, it's enjoyable.
Yeah. Speaking of The Unhoneymooners.
Lots of Harry Potter references. There's like been 3.
Oh, man, I haven't read it in a long time.
Yeah. We should have asked them what their Hogwarts houses were.
Who?
Instead, everybody asked them if they were Team Edward or Team Jacob. So speaking of what we're talking about, that's what we did. Is we went to St. Louis this past weekend and we met Christina Lauren, our favorite author duo, who wrote all of like my favorite books that I've ever read. I was going to say written. I've never written a book. They wrote The Soulmate Equation, The Unhoneymooners, Love in Other Words, and they just recently came out with The True Love Experiment. So they're doing a book tour right now. And it was such a blast. We also went to go and visit Regine and Kelly because they live in St. Louis. So shout out to them. We miss you guys and love you.
What up? I finished Air of Fire.
Yeah, she did.
Yay.
And I can bend my knee to 60 degrees.
Woo-woo! Ah!
Progress, is it really baby. Hard there? Is it comfortable? No, but I can do
but
it.
But you can do it. That's all that matters.
I can do it.
Okay, so shout out to Janine from Ravenclaw. She got bingo tonight, so Hey-o. She earned some points for Ravenclaw.
Good job, and birds.
That means that the standings are... Why can I, like, I never know how to pull them.
Someone pulled them.
Oh, thank you. Ravenclaw is in first with 12,263 points. Hufflepuff's in second with 11,772. Slytherin is in third with 11,765. And Gryffindor has broken 10,000.
Yeah, yo.
Fourth place, yes. 10,035.
Yeah. Good job, Lions.
I feel but like we're if Lions were to like really
in the chat though.
Yeah, if you continue, I think you still have a chance.
Yeah, for sure.
Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Gryffindors wouldn't give up.
Nope.
Okay, speaking of points, trivia for those who are listening like real time is this Friday.
Yep.
You can win massive points for your house.
You sure can.
Is it?
I need to remember what I did last time, but we gave everybody points, who was there participation points. Mm-hmm. And then the winners got
like big bumps.
Big points. Yeah. Like the top three.
Yeah. Got top big three points. Get big points. And then there's always a prize.
Yep.
So yeah, come to trivia. We need Lions. Trivia is at 7:07.
Yep. And if you forget, it's in the notice board in Discord. Because I forget things the second I hear it.
On our Instagram.
Yes, you're correct.
Just like on our page in a post.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's it, right?
Yeah, that is it.
This episode is for me. I'd like to thank me for doing the doc. I'd like to thank me for doing all the notes. I'd like to thank me for leading all the discussion.
This is for Teef Brian O'Malley.
Yep, the that's Teef it.
Takeover.
The Teef
that's
takeover.
What this is called.
Oh, I
it's
love
the
it.
Teef takeover. You are all welcome. I'm hope you weren't sick of listening to me talk and cough and get a dry throat throughout this entire episode.
It's the Tiffany takeover.
You will lose. Okay. That concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing. Jump in my voice.
Kara out here
getting us download numbers, doing God's work.
Oh, man. Doing God's work.
Okay. I don't even know. We stopped where Katie and I couldn't remember what we did 3 minutes ago. Because we are goldfish.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.